Listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820, brings you Faith Alive, inspiring talks from the finest Catholic speakers. On February 22, 2014, women from all over Ohio and beyond came together for the 7th Annual Columbus Catholic Women's Conference. Today, former Olympic skier Rebecca Dussault. Following Rebecca's talk, we'll hear from Father Dan Dury, the pastor of St. Catherine's, with his reconciliation talk. Enjoy!
It is, above all, by means of a woman that piety is first awakened and spreads its mysterious influence over society. Woman is the grand instrument of which providence makes use to prepare the way for civilization. Should she prove false to her high mission, society would perish. We do have a high mission, women. We absolutely do. I'm going to illustrate it through a little joke. Since it's the 7th inning stretch, right? There's a reason they put me last. I might make you guys get up and stretch and stay awake. So there was God and Adam, and Adam had named all the animals. He too saw that it was all good, and he was so grateful, but he still longed for something else, and he approached God and he said, I still need one who can repair my sandals, trim my beard, ferment my food, scrub my back. I need someone to help me, Lord. Well, so God made woman. And after a while, Adam came back with her, and he said, actually, I think I'd like a do-over. I need one, actually. I've thought about this long and hard, Lord. She needs to be reflective and receptive, loving and true. And her respect should never fail me, and she only speaks goodness from the goodness of her heart. That, Lord, would be the most profitable of companions. What'll that run me? And the Lord said, well, let's see, that first version cost a rib, so you, I know what you want. You want the one with the feminine genius functions. That's an arm and a leg. And she's on back order. But we have that today, ladies. We have that feminine genius. We have been made not to do, but to be. So I stand before you today. I'm going to mentor you in this short amount of time to integrate both health and holiness. Some of us out there probably feel a little imbalanced. Don't worry. And I'm not talking about hormonal imbalance. I'm talking about trying to make it all feel like it's level and we're coasting. It's not going to be. We're not going to find balance. We're going to find focus. Okay? And it doesn't matter if you're here today with us as a teenager, a single, a woman raising a young family, a woman who's raised her family, whatever your case may be. So I stand before you as a daughter of the church. That is my deepest identity. That's what I've been carved out for. I am not abandoned. I am adopted. So are you. And that life was begun in me as an infant. I am a cradle Catholic. And I'm not left to my own devices. I have that indwelling, which makes me a specialized creature. And so are you. I also stand before you as a wife. As an 11-year-old, I started going to the home of my future husband. I was friends with his younger sister, and we would jump on the trampoline. And I went there every single day. Bless my mother. She would call repeatedly, please come home, Rebecca. And I'm like, okay, just we're going to pray the family rosary. I'll be home right after that. But at 19 years old, we decided to marry. And so I took on my big V, if you will. You know, if I could hold my other arm up, that's my big V. That's my vocation. We've been married for 14 years, and we've seen a lot of trials, as many of you have. And if you haven't, you will, so just count on it. But also a lot of triumphs. There's so much that's triumphal in marriage as well. For instance, my husband's father passed away when he was 18. He was the oldest of the five children still at home, and so he immediately jumped into his father's shoes, both in the family business and both just as helpmate to his mom, taking on quite a spousal role to get those last children raised. And we married right after that, so he had our family and his family, and he poured himself out to the point that at 28 years old, he had ulcerative colitis so bad that he had three surgeries to save his life. And so that just being one of those trials, you just don't think at 28 years old that you're going to have an organ removed and you have two children at home. And you should have seen me switching hats. I was like, mother, I'm being father, I'm being teacher, I'm being cook, I'm being nurse. Just hats on and off all day. And we were exhausted, but praise God, those surgeries did save his life, and he's in excellent health today. And I stand before you as mother, as probably the majority in here are. We have four children, three sons and a daughter, as you all saw. And my little nurse in person, I'm so glad she's here with me. She keeps me identifying moment by moment with my motherhood. I always say my little nurse in persons are with me wherever I go. We also homeschool. We have Hail Mary homeschool. I named it that. My sons were like, can we please pick the name? I was like, no, I've got to name this one. I have to pray Hail Marys to homeschool you. This is going to be Hail Mary homeschool. And we obviously firmly believe in experiential education. We lived in that RV that you may have seen in a picture or two the whole last year and traveled from the West Coast to the East Coast and Eastern Canada. And wanted to give the children a true experience of, gosh, everything from interacting with adults and different pockets of culture in the U.S. to pilgrimaging to various holy sites. And there's so much to be learned. And brave or crazy as it may sound, even Emiliana was born on the road just a year ago. She was born February 20th, so that's a whole nother story. But what I want to impress upon you is it's not so much that I'm trying to educate them. And that resonates with me, having been homeschooled. I want to form them. My resume doesn't say at the bottom, like, certifiably, I have an education. It says, certifiably, I have a formation. Okay, formed as a daughter of the church. And being formed, believe me, I have not arrived. I am not there. But I do have the hardest job in the world, raising young saints. I want to just a show of hands. If you're raising the young church right now, raise your hands up for me. All right. God bless you, mothers. And I'm standing before you certainly as an athlete, though not just in the physical sense. Okay, I aim to excel at things in life. I have things I'm passionate about. And these things stretch me and they strengthen me. Truly, you know, and not only just in the physical sense of the word. We have to aim after things that grow us, okay, stretch us, strengthen us. Robert Feeney, one of my favorite Catholic authors, he writes in The Catholic Ideal, Exercise and Sports, we need health and fitness to help our souls be victorious over the weaknesses of our bodies. And I feel that all the time, the weakness of my body and my soul just collapses to whatever my body wants. We have to flip that around. We have to change that. You know, I continue to compete. I think I've ski raced every single weekend this whole winter. And winter in Colorado started like back in November. And we still have this much snow on the ground. I was behind my booth. I said, I think I'll take off my snow boots and put on my big girl shoes. Oh. But I love that. I love the challenge because I can mentor youth so much more impactfully if I can still be showing them that I love competition rightly aimed. I love to get out there and duke it out. I mean, even the 15-year-old boy on the Nordic team I coach, he still can't beat me. And I love showing him that tenacity that we have to keep going. As much as we do spiritual warfare, we have got to do like bodily warfare. We've got to want it. So I'm specially formed. And I also have those small V's. You know, I've got my big V as wife, my small V as athlete. I'm in a continual school of learning. But I choose to go ever upward, and that's my motto, is ever upward. And I was just talking with a very handicapped man, and, you know, he doesn't see much in front of him into the future as far as gaining greater physical health. And we came to the conclusion that even if he fell down and was not able to get up, he promised me he would inch forward on his bum and keep moving forward, you know, forward direction. So really, only pride, though. Only pride could paint me as perfect. I mean, the very fact that I'm up here today, that doesn't mean I'm perfect. That means I fell into that very slim category of people who would public speak. You know, some people would choose sudden death over public speaking. And I somehow, through the filter, landed on that side. So pride is truly at the root of all we do. If you listen to yourself in the confessional, it's like, oh, that, yep. Those are like beads on a string. Pride is the string. Every single sin, everything you're talking about in there, trace it back to pride, women. But you should have seen me polishing this presentation. There I was at home. I'm trying to type on the computer. My boys are brawling. Projectiles flying everywhere. My little daughter had a fever so hot, I think she was burning my whole lap. And I'm trying to, you know, pluck and type this out with one finger. And I was like, this is so the way it is. This is the way it is. These are the moments we have to sanctify. You know, this is life. And it wasn't a singular instance. So I really am not interested in coming here today to just tell you what kind of woman to be. I want to help you get there. I want you to help me get there. Archbishop Fulton Sheen said in his book, Finding True Happiness, he says, contentment is not inconsistent with our endeavor to have our condition changed or improved. We do everything we can as if it all depended on us, but we trust God as if everything depended on him. And to that, I say the talents we have to put them to work. I retired at 19 years old. I wanted my skis to grow mold. I was done ski racing. And yet the Lord said, look at this. Look at the writing on the wall. Look at the gift you have. Use it. Yeah, he helped my husband to paint that picture for me too. But we have to admit, we've really received more than we morally deserve. And this discontent that we can have with our with everything that's going on, how we look, how we feel, that discontent, it's rampant among the overprivileged, of which probably all of us could say we are. Have you seen that YouTube? I think it's a YouTube, and it talks about tweets from first world countries. And it says, I hate it when my cell phone won't reach my nightstand. I hate it when they gave me a pickle and I only ordered a sandwich. Or, I don't like it when I have to use a cold toilet seat. You know, let's bring it into perspective. The people who are doing it, it's Haitians, and they're in these broken down buildings and talking about, I hate it when their toilet seat is cold and there's nothing in there. So we got to become content, ladies. We got to do with what we have. So if you're that mom stuck at home, and you have the six kids, we're all Catholic, come on, we have babies, and you're like, this woman's unrealistic, when am I ever going to get a workout? Invite some other women over, have a mom's group, do an hour of core exercises, clear out a corner of your cluttered basement, clear out a space on your lawn, get some props, have someone bring a nourishing snack, and the kids get a play date all at the same time. So everyone's getting their virtual cup filled, right? No one's leaving empty. You too can do this. I used to have a group like that called Hardcore Mamas. So I don't actually do that group anymore, but the next one I'm inspired to lead is called Bellies and Babies, and I want to teach pregnant women how to exercise safely their whole pregnancy, how to have more energy in birth and those sort of things, and then how to get back. If that's not one of the hardest challenges, how do you get your body back after birth? I may be not the best example. I have really teeny tiny babies. Emiliana was 4 pounds, 4 ounces, and I walked home from the hospital, and the nurse led me all the way to the front. No, they made me wheeled in the wheelchair, and she carried the baby, and they got to the front door of the hospital, and she was still saying, "Now, honey, are you sure you're stable on your feet?" My pride wanted to say, "Woman, I could run," but I didn't. I just said, I think I'll make it. I'm fine, you know. And in reality, 4 pounds and 4 ounces, car seats aren't even rated safe until 5 pounds, so she wasn't even legal to ride in the car, so I guess I had to walk home. But anyway, continually challenging, doing that bodily battle to get back. And it's not easy. So I'm going to ask you, do you want the answers to becoming fit? Yes. Resounding yes. Okay. Do you want the answers to becoming fit?
Yes.
Okay, fit is finding interior transformation. What tools do I need? Usually it helps if you have a person, a place, and a time regularly. And I don't care if your exercise group is sitting in a chair and just doing a few barbell curls and praying the rosary or whatever. You know, everyone's at their own level. But finding that place, that person that can be your accountability. But we can't only just keep this in the physical realm. What about spiritually? What sort of person, places, and times can we connect with spiritually? Maybe your goals could be to sign up for a weekly holy hour. It happens every week. Our Lord's depending on you at the same hour every week. So get yourself there. And I have to say, sometimes I leave holy hour and I was like, that was an unholy hour. The toddler trying to climb the sacristy stairs. The boys. Can we light a candle? Can we light a candle? Can we light a candle? And I'm sitting there just like, you know. And I leave there and I'm like, Lord, reveal to me somewhere, somehow, the good you did in my soul. Because right now, that was another unholy hour. And let's back it up. What about the daily goal? What do we do when we wake up in the morning? We can say, "Good morning, God." Or we could say, "Good God, it's morning." You know, it starts from that opening breath, that opening eyes. Do you consecrate your day? Right then and there. My sister-in-law and I joke, we say, don't frump out your day. If you put on sweatpants, you're going to eat Cocoa Puffs. You're going to watch TV. If you watch TV, you're going to waste time. You're not going to get done your chores. You're just going to frump out your whole day, and chances are you're going to get to the end of the day and be like, wow, that was pretty unproductive. So I say, get up. Dress up. Remember, a lot of us have husbands that come home from work, and they don't want to just see old frump-a-dump wife who didn't brush her teeth or her hair today. Okay? So take the 45 seconds. Yes, you too can do it in 45 seconds to brush your hair, brush your teeth, put on a little something that makes you feel like you have dignity. Okay? And of course, it's not all about the clothes. Obviously, it's not. I mean, if we obsess about what, if we wore the right earrings today or the right shoes or does it match, or then we're not really there. Okay? Because it's not really about that. But you know how it makes us as women feel good. We dress to impress. But impress our Lord first with your dress. And then we'll eat well. I believe that. If we just aim to take care of ourselves, we will eat well, we will dress well, we will pray well, we will be well. I'm striving for wholeness of health here. We can't have health going in that direction and holiness going in that direction. Somehow they need to meet in the middle. And it's not a marriage of equals, but it's health aiding our holiness. Mother Teresa said, the busier we are, the more we spend in prayer. It's like, okay, in that sentence alone, my plans for the day are not the plans of the Lord. And in reading a devotional on November 14th, my birthday, it says at the bottom of this huge paragraph, it just says, my TV is the tabernacle. Oh, okay, that was meant for me. You know, And I want to impress upon you too, sitting is the new smoking. And of course, I'm here on the health side of things, so it's not that I'm calling you out if you're a smoker or someone who has a desk job or something, but seriously, where are we at with our health? Let's get up. Let's move our body, okay? Let's maybe sign up for a race if you haven't ever. It could be a 5K walk. It could be a trail marathon, something to stimulate challenge in your life where you're not currently challenged. And get yourself to the start line. And it helps if you have, you know, a person to be accountable to. I have some gals that I just invited to come, you know, with me to the pool at 6 a.m. on Friday morning. Let's get this workout done. Let's train for a triathlon. And they were so inspired that they're still meeting long after. I mean, I leave triathlon season clear back in September, and they're still meeting, and they're still building each other up, Christian women getting together, and they went on to do a few triathlons. And I just thought, you know, all I did is just light a little fire right there. Two individual flames in these gals, and they built it into a fire and a fellowship. You know, maybe what we need to do, maybe the challenge we are up against is maybe we need to sign up for marital counseling and seek out a renowned Catholic to help us. Or if we're in a better place, maybe we just flat out need date night. So make it happen. My husband and I are like ships passing in the night. How was your workout? Good. Here's the kids. Whew, I'm out the door. It's like, luckily I get, to, or I'm not luckily, I'm blessed I get to leave them with him. But we would love to someday work out again together. But really, okay, so finding interior transformation, that is being fit at every level, okay? But it's ongoing. It's a sustained thing. It's not, I don't have time now, or I don't have the energy now. You know what now is? Now is not wanting, not waiting, or sorry, not only wanting, not only waiting, not only wishing. I mean, you've got to make some concrete steps toward health. So spiritually, we have this unfathomable resource. I mean, we can't exhaust the richness of Holy Mother Church. So let us run to her abundant resources. Her head calls us to be holy. And according to Alice von Hildebrand, Catholic theologian, holiness is a limitless readiness to serve. Ah, that just sums us up as women. Limitless readiness to serve. And if you're raising young kids and still chasing after potty trainers and stuff, you know, moment by moment what I mean. I brought today this little wooden pelican from my travels to Mexico, totally not a ski destination, but a very holy priest who I'm speaking or seeking spiritual direction from gave me a new sense of the pelican. I don't know if any of you know the story of the pelican, but she will even peck her own breast to expose blood to nourish her offspring if she cannot go and gather food. And I think of that as being us oftentimes. We can be that self-giving or self-donating, and we should be. We're going to talk about building our faith and formation through a discipline of prayer life, adoration, lectio divina, spiritual direction, practices which form Catholic culture in us. And I know there's already a great thing going. I mean, just look how many beautiful, holy women are here today. So we just got to be conscious. It's so easy to participate in the worldliness around us. But let's re-engage in our parish life. Take your time, take your talent, and take your treasure back to your parish. I know, you don't have time, right? Yes, because we really must spend more time on Facebook. And we've got to catch another show. Oh, and there's that event I'm going to. Well, the end event is at the end of our lives. And we have every day of our life to prepare. Our Lord gives us the parable of the virgins. He says, at the time of the kingdom of heaven, it will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps, went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of the virgins were foolish, and 5 were wise. And when the foolish ones took their lamps, they didn't take any extra olive oil. But the wise ones took flasks, plural, flasks of olive oil. When the bridegroom was delayed a long time, they became drowsy and fell asleep. Oh man, I don't know a single mother, woman, or wife, or otherwise that doesn't need sleep. I'd have been asleep, probably. But at midnight, there was a shout, "Look, look, the bridegroom is here." The foolish ones said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil. Our lamps are going out." And maybe you feel that. Maybe you feel like your lamp is going out. And they replied, "No, there won't be enough for us and for you. Go instead to those who sell oil. Buy some for yourself." I end that parable there because I want you to understand that we have the responsibility to fill up our flask. Fill up our spiritual flask. Fill up our spirit, or our physical flask. Okay? Let's oil our lamps. I want to give you some oil today, but you need to go find a source of oil in your own place, in your own community, in your own parish. You know, find your source. Physically, we as athletes and sports enthusiasts, I mean, it's all around us. We latch on to the forward momentum of others. I just titled my ministry Mass Start because I want us to understand that really it's a start line. Even though we're all on the journey, we are ever at the start. What does sacramental confession do for us? Brings us back to the start. Renewed energy for the race. So I want you to know I'm on the start line with you. And when a race starts as a mass start, there's leaders and there's followers. We're in the same race, and some draft and some get in the wake of the other person. But I ask you, sisters in Christ, please, when you're strong enough, pull up alongside me and take over the lead. And let me draft a while behind you. Okay? That comes into play with using our rich resources we already have within us. Okay? Blossom into what you're supposed to be and carry others with you. Do you hunger and thirst for more? And the Catechism says prayer is the encounter of God's thirst with ours. God thirsts that we may thirst for him. He is thirsty because he wants us to thirst for him. But we've forsaken him. We've set up earthen cisterns that can't hold water. We make commitments. We break them. We try to diet. It lasts a day. You know? Hello? The next demon will move in more forcefully and take a stronger hold on us than even the first. And we as women sometimes are so hard on ourselves, we don't even forgive ourselves. We focus on a single task and we've completed it, or we're multitasking, but we forget to make it a habit. So whether it's a habit of prayer, a habit of exercise, a habit of family forgiveness night, a habit of reading the scriptures. We've just lately been reading, and someone tipped me off to this, reading a proverb, because there's 31 Proverbs, and as you know from Kimberly's beautiful talk, Proverbs 31, it's like the capstone. It's about the woman. But there are roughly 31 days in a month. So today's the 22nd. Go tonight and read Proverbs 22. And tomorrow on the 23rd, read the 23rd one. I gave a chuckle. I always find something new, but I was reading it yesterday and it said, "It's better for you to live on a corner of your roof, to live in your house with a wicked wife." Better to have a corner of the roof than live in your home with a wicked wife. Okay, got it. Blessed Frassati, Blessed Pier Giorgio Frassati, is there a show of hands for those who are already in the know of who that saint is? Okay, a few of you out there. I have his first class relic with me today, and that'll be at my booth later if you choose to venerate it. I also have my Olympic ring on, which I carved with Blessed Frassati. They issue these to everyone, and he's the patron of my ski journey. And he says, "The faith given to me in baptism suggests surely that by yourself you will do nothing. But if you have God as the center of all your action, I mean all your action, scrubbing the toilet, paying the bills, everything, if you have God as the center of all your action, then you will reach the goal. And you'll find purpose in all that doing, because as women, we gotta do." But here's my fair warning. In the world, you will have trouble. But take courage, I have conquered the world. That's John 16:33. He's already conquered. He He's broken down those things which keep us from wholeness. And Acts 14:22 says, it's through many persecutions that we must enter the kingdom of God. And maybe you feel that. You feel persecuted for how you look, the things you said, the things you didn't say. Know that he too had trouble. So I want to be pretty real with you. I'm no great person. Without spoiling my whole life story, because I want you to buy the book, I want you to know, I grew up in Colorado. I'm fourth generation Coloradan. I have the alcoholic father. I have the family that broke when I was a 9-year-old and parents divorced. I have had the poor single mother who was working for $4.25 an hour at the Chamber of Commerce, and they made her wear pantyhose, and she wanted to kill them. So hard to provide for 3 young kids when that's your circumstances. I have the rebel brother and sister. My brother, I ask prayers for him, Eddie. He just got out of prison 2 days ago. I haven't seen him in 18 months. I have the sister who's on her 4th live-in relationship with a man. And even in our family, we have half, not my direct family, but my husband's and our extended family, we have half the women who were pregnant in their wedding dress and half who were worthy of white on their wedding night. And we're just all real, sisters. Every one of us is real. Every family struggles. But luckily my mom, she occupied us with sports. She knew a good thing. And had us in all kinds of sports. And early on, I was at cross-country skiing out into the wilderness with our priest, and he celebrated Mass for us in the moonlight. And I'm like, there on my cross-country skis, I'm receiving the bread of life, and I'm like, oh, God and cross-country skiing must go together. Oh, my. And I alluded to the fact that I retired. Yes, I did. At 19 years old, I retired. I said, well, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul in the process? What does it profit me if I win the gold medal? But I have collapsed to occasion after occasion of sin. It was super hard, and I can't elaborate on that too much at this time. But basically, I knew I had to aim for the imperishable crown. That is the only worthy pursuit. The only worthy pursuit is to aim for the imperishable crown, the one no one can remove from your head. Blessed Frassati, my patron saint, says, to live without faith, without a constant struggle for the truth, that's not even living. That's merely existing. We must never merely exist. And he inspires me so much. He says, with every day that passes, I grow more and more convinced how ugly the world is. And mind you, this is 100 years ago. How much suffering there is. And unfortunately, how it's the good who suffer the most. Meanwhile, we've been given so many of God's blessings, but we've repaid him poorly. This is an awful reality that racks my brain. So I often ask myself, will I continue on the right path? Will I have the strength to persevere all the way? So after taking time off in my retirement, I came back to ski racing with a 14-month-old. I'd had him in the front pack and then in the back pack. We went to the 2002 games, and I watched all my friends start their first Olympic races. I had a 2-month-old. Tears of joy and sorrow, a total mixed bag of emotions. And somehow there was still a little flicker flame in me. And that was fanned back into action. 14 months later, I rejoined ski racing through an incredible win, which was actually, I'd like to call it miraculous, because I shouldn't have won that race. But the Lord called me right back into ski racing. For whomever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. And so to be salt and light to the missionary world of sport, which is so self-fulfilled. Talk about sponsors throwing things at you, people getting paid for incredible performances, beautiful bodies, and empty souls, often the case. So I would be there like breastfeeding in the car and change a poopy diaper and, okay, I've got 5 minutes to get to the start line. I'd get out there. I'd win another race, stand on the podium, praise the Lord, get back in the car, breastfeed more, go back. You know, just real life. But we had to not compromise. The U.S. ski team is not set up for women who are married. It is not set up for women with children. And even at the Olympic level, I couldn't stay in the Olympic Village. We had to buy our own lodging and rent our own car to have uniquely my family with me, to be wife first, then mother, then athlete. Anything that flows from being Catholic first is a rich blessing, but be Catholic first. So we just cut the red tape wherever we possibly could and said, watch us. We are going to be the leaven in this world of sport. So St. Sebastian, patron of athletes, he says, the devil strains every nerve to secure the souls which belong to Christ, and we must wrestle them back and give them back to God. Yeah, he really does. I think he uses sports lingo. I think when Satan tempts us and tricks us and deceives us, I think he's like, goal! Yes! You know, he does the fist pump too. So let's not give him the victory. If sport and fitness don't serve the soul in God, they're a fleeting pleasure and a useless movement of our body. And JP 2, he says, sports, in fact, can make an effective contribution to the peaceful understanding between peoples. We see that at the time of the Olympics, nations coming together. And sports can help establish the new civilization of love. So that's the pedestal he's put sports on, too. To have that role, the church's interest is directed to man and his temporal dimension of his life. And it motivates us, you know, to care for the person. And it's ordered to the intellectual and moral perfection of the soul, though. That's the bottom line. Oriented towards the perfection of the soul. Societally, we've had a huge change. We no longer, you know, milk the cows, plant the crops, churn the butter. We don't even make a lot of our food, for goodness sake. Who out there has ever baked their own sourdough bread from a culture? Who has smoked and cured and cut up their own bacon? I know you all eat bacon. Does anyone even get vitamin D anymore by line drying their laundry? Okay, I'm going to ask you today to find fitness in your life. Climb the stairs with loads of laundry. Line dry it. Do the things which can bring some fitness and some vitality into your life at that level. We know that nothing our Lord asks of us in light of wholeness of health is a task for just the day. His precepts shall not pass away. They go on. Okay. So, it's an ascent. For wholeness of health, we've got to carry a cross. Okay. Pick it up, carry it. It's not incongruent with perfecting the soul to also aid the body, okay? Because the body can help us search for and communicate the truth better if we but let it. I never like it when I get that 10-minute flash from the back. I could go on and on and on. We haven't even stretched or done our abs or anything. But I just want to call you back to There's some perversion within sport, too. The betting, the drugs, the obsessive collecting of paraphernalia. And even there was a practice on the Soviet team a couple decades ago to abort and have the benefits of having had a pregnancy and then return back to ski racing. So if the supreme purpose of man as man and the common goal of every form of human activity isn't bringing us closer to God, we are missing the mark. And I want to tell you more about Blessed Frassati, but you can learn more about him in a lot of manners. You can go to frassatiusa.org. But he is a saint, especially for our young people. So, so ordinary, but so extraordinary. Just living and pouring himself out, as all the saints did. But I mean, this guy, he cross-country skied, he smoked a cigar. If his friends lost a match of pool with him, the bet was they had to go to adoration with him. So tweak your existence, make it uniquely Catholic culture. Live it. Love it. I echo the words of St. Paul, who says, I cannot understand even my own actions. I do not do what I want to do, but what I hate. I'm not going to eat that. I'm not going to eat that. I'm not going to eat that. I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to go there. So we got to use this vehicle. This vehicle contains the soul, my friends. Where you drive this vehicle is where your soul goes. If morality, or the Catechism says, if morality requires respect for the life of the body, it does not make it an absolute value. And it rejects the neo-paganism that says everything for the cult of the body. Sacrifice everything for its good. Idolize it. So we're building ourselves up for something else, right, gals? But don't teeter, don't teeter. Don't go, oh, but the belly fat, the wrinkles, the saddlebags. Okay, find your focus on Christ. Make him motivate you and take you. You're his. We are not the sum of our physicality. Don't ever think that's the case. But use it as a vehicle. I'm going to conclude with the Olympic Creed, because I think it's unique. It's written by a French Dominican priest. I love that. He says, it's not that we win, but that we take part. Not so much that we conquered, but that we fought well. I don't know about you, but I want that to be said of me at the end of the sum of my days, that I fought well. It's the now. Mediocrity will not suffice. It's time to live as heroic Catholic women. St. Catherine of Siena, I know you know it, so say it with me. If we are what we're supposed to be, we'll set the world on fire. And friends and fellow beautiful Catholic women, if you're on fire, the world will come to see you burn. Ignite that fire. God bless.
You're listening to Faith Alive on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820. That was Rebecca Dussault speaking to the 7th Annual Columbus Catholic Women's Conference on February 22, 2014. To learn more about Rebecca Dussault, please visit her website at DussaultSkis.com. That's DussaultSkis. Coming up right now, Father Dan Dury, the pastor of St. Catherine's Parish in Bexley. Enjoy!
Good morning, my dear sisters. This is awesome. I have never been in the presence of so many women. It's a great thing. I've been asked to speak to you today about God's mercy and love, especially found in the sacrament of reconciliation. So I've been asked to preach to you. As I was walking the floor, I overheard two women talking about their pastor's homilies. They were trying to be very kind about it. One of the women said, you know, Father's sermons remind me of the Trinity. They go beyond all human understanding. Okay. The other lady said, yeah, Father's sermons remind me of God's mercy. They endure forever. Okay, so I will try to preach to you today in a way that you can understand. Try. And I promise I won't keep you long. How much time do I have? About 3 hours? 3 hours, good. My brothers and sisters, or my sisters, there are some brothers here. God's mercy. God's mercy is infinite. God's mercy is powerful. And we have all experienced it in our lives. I wish to share to you today about a particular devotion in the church known as the Divine Mercy Chaplet. Are you familiar with it? Maybe It concerns a poor, uneducated nun who lived in Poland in the 1930s and to whom Jesus appeared with a very special message, a message of his mercy and love for all humanity. And he gave to this nun a prayer, which he asked to be prayed by all, the Divine Mercy Chaplet. And this prayer is very beautiful, isn't it? And it's short. No, it's only 8 minutes. But very powerful. And in the diary in which Sister Maria Kowalska recorded these conversations, she recorded this from Jesus. When they say this chaplet in the presence of the dying, I will stand between my Father and the dying person, not just as a judge, but as a merciful Savior. And I want to share with you two miracles in my own life that I attribute to this prayer. One concerns my grandfather, or Papaw, as we called him, Papaw. And it was back in 2009. I was not a priest yet. I was a deacon studying at Mount St. Mary's in Maryland. And I happened to be home for Thanksgiving break. And we were together at my grandmother's house, and there was my grandfather. My grandfather at this point was very ill. You have to understand something about Papaw. Papaw wasn't very religious. As a matter of fact, he was anti-religious. He would always say, those ministers, priests, all they want to do is make money. That's all they care about, money. He did like me, though. Okay, that was good, but... And he would not allow my grandmother to attend a religious service. So you can see, huh? He was very ill and pretty much very near death. And I remember my cousin, Jennifer, who had drank a little bit too much of the vino. Okay? Those jugs, those big jugs you get at Kroger's, is a little dangerous there. Like $2 for those things, my goodness. But you know, in vino est veritas, in wine there is truth. And she knew that my grandfather had never been baptized. And so she got up enough courage through this liquid courage, okay? And she said, Papaw, why don't you be baptized? And she looked at me as the clergy member. And she said, Dan, doesn't Papaw have to be baptized to go to heaven? And I can't lie. Only about fishing, okay? But we know, we read in sacred scripture, unless a man is born again through water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. So in the sacrament of baptism, we have salvation, forgiveness of sin. And so I said, well, yeah, Papaw, you have to be baptized. And so then my cousin Jennifer said, Papaw, do you want to be baptized? And he said, yes. Now at this point, I thought that I had drank too much wine. And I remember asking him, Papaw, you sure you want to be baptized? Yes. I asked him 3 times because I was just so much in shock. If you knew my grandfather, good man for the most part, a lot of struggles there. And so I remember I said, okay, let's do it. Because he was near death, very ill. I was a deacon, allowed to baptize, right? On break for just these couple days. See how God works. So I said, all right, Mamaw, yes, let's go get a bowl of water and towels, and we're ready to go. So my whole family was gathered around Papaw, and there I was able to baptize him and he was able to receive forgiveness of all of his sins. All of his sins. And God's mercy reigned. And there I was baptizing my grandfather, and what a wonderful spirit. We were all so very happy that this had occurred. My grandfather's still very much in pain, so I called a priest, and the priest came, Father Adam Streitenberger. He came and gave my grandfather anointing of the sick and Holy Eucharist. And my mom, I remember, she said, "I never thought that I would see that." And I remember praying. We had been praying for my grandfather for some time, my family, the Divine Mercy Chaplet. Remember what Jesus says about those who are dying, that he will come as the merciful Savior. So I remember praying it. Thanksgiving was Thursday, of course, so Friday, I remember praying the Divine Mercy Chaplet over and over. I said, "Lord, just take my grandfather home. Especially because I don't want him to commit any other sin, immortal sins. No more. He wants to go home now. He's ready." So I prayed that. My dad prayed it. And the next day was a Saturday. And do you believe that he took his last breath at 3:00 precisely? Yeah, 3:00. That is the hour of divine mercy because our Lord died at 3:00. And he said specifically to pray this prayer, Divine Mercy Chaplet, at 3:00. God's mercy is infinite. God's mercy is great. God's mercy saves my brother, my sisters. But that was only the beginning. That's one story. Last year, I'll tell you another story. This concerns my stepfather. Last year in March, it was around this time, yeah. And probably one of the worst days of my life. I received a call from my mother. I remember exactly where I was. I was at Easton Movie Theater watching the Jackie Robinson movie. And I got a call. My phone on vibrate, okay? And I looked, and there, Mom, caller ID. So I put it right back in my pocket, not because I don't love my mother. I love my mother. But because, you don't want to answer a phone in a movie. Yes. But you know what was so strange about that? I had a sick feeling in my stomach, in my heart. The Holy Spirit was telling me something is wrong. Something is wrong, Dan. So I went to voicemail and I saw, I have a voicemail. And I said, I have to check this. So I did check it in the movie theater. I checked it. And the message I'll never forget, unfortunately, because it was so painful for my mother. And it was the tone in her voice. It was awful. And she said, crying, "Dan, Ernie had a massive heart attack. We don't think he's going to make it." So I ran down the steps of the movie theater. People probably thought I was some weirdo or something, but ran out, and something told me in my heart, pray the Divine Mercy Chaplet. Pray the Divine Mercy Chaplet. So I started praying it immediately, and so did my brother. I found out later on, my brother, my sister, my dad turned to that immediately to ask God, "God help him. God help Ernie." What had happened was he was coming back from a fishing trip, and while in the car, he had severe back pain, and he said, "Pull over." He got out of the car. He's with his brother, thank goodness. He got out. White foam started coming out of his mouth, and he collapsed. My uncle went around and said he was solid as a rock. He had what is called a widowmaker heart attack. the worst. 100% blockage, I later found out from the doctor, the main artery. But you know what? Within a minute, there was a nurse who was getting off of work from Dublin Methodist off 33. It was on 33 outside of Columbus. She saw it. She pulled over and immediately administered CPR. Within a minute of that, there was a highway patrolman. He pulled over and he had a defibrillator machine. He administered that immediately. The ambulance came. It took him a little while. And they found no pulse. There was no pulse even in the midst of all of this. No pulse. There was no pulse for at least 40 minutes. I remember getting a call. I drove very fast, yes indeed, to the hospital to administer last rites. And the nurses let me in. And there my stepfather was brought in off the ambulance into this room. It was a weird room. I don't know what it was. And I gave him absolution of all of his sins. There was blood coming out of his mouth. He was cold, white. It was awful. But my sisters, what happened after that is a miracle. He was in the hospital for a little while, maybe a month, 2 months. He and I went shark fishing this past October. This story was featured on NBC, because it is a miracle. And I attribute it to divine mercy. So my sisters, pray this prayer, and look at that image. That's the image that Jesus asked to be painted, showing his love for us, his mercy for us, outpouring. And you can experience that in a couple of minutes in the sacrament of penance. We have 40 priests, or at least 40 priests, I hope, okay, here to hear your confession. When you go to confession, just open your heart. Be completely honest, because you will encounter Christ, and he will heal you. And do not be afraid, as some say to me, Father, I'm not going to confession to you. I'm embarrassed, you know. And I said, you're not that original. You know, because we all struggle with the same thing. So go and just get it all out there. And the priest is going to be nice, okay? He will guide you. And if it's been 40 years, so what? Go to confession. What do you think we're going to do? 40 years? Get out of here! We rejoice when we hear that. Go and seek God's mercy, receive God's mercy and love. Be very honest with the priest. If you don't know how to go to confession, that's okay. Just say, Father, I don't know what I'm doing. Okay? We will guide you through it. Be honest, be open, and find healing. And I want to give you a quote that Pope Francis said a couple days ago in his homily about confession. He said this, don't be afraid of confession. When someone is in line for confession, he feels all these things, even shame. But then, when he finishes confessing, he leaves feeling free, great, beautiful, forgiven, clean, happy. Common experience, the happiness found in the infinite mercy of our loving God. God bless you.
Faith Alive is a production of listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820. Today you heard from Rebecca Dussault and Father Dan Dury from the 7th Annual Columbus Catholic Women's Conference. For more information on the Columbus Catholic Women's Conference, please visit their website at columbuscatholicwomen.com. Thanks for joining us today. God bless and have a great day.